My name is Jonathan Graves. I'm associate pastor here at CBC, and thank you all for joining us today and to worship. Mickey, Sue Ellen, praise band, thank you all for the great music and worship and praise of our Lord and Savior. So back in April, especially on April 18th, we had a baby dedication. And Mickey preached a sermon that involved verses from Deuteronomy 6. In the sermon, and even in the baby dedication, the challenge was given to parents to teach their children God's word. To teach your children to follow and be obedient to God. But these verses also pointed out the importance of parents being on the front line of ministry for their kids. Parents, you are the ones that spend the most time with your children. You are the ones that are going to have the biggest impact on the direction of their lives, whether to know God or to not know Him. So let's take a look real quick at Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, and here's what it says. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. And when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And I'm not going to necessarily preach these verses again, because you've heard them a lot, and we still need to hear them more. But I want you to understand that parents have a major role in the lives of your children. And that role is teaching them to love God with all their heart, with all their minds, and with all their souls. Teaching them to be obedient to God, to follow His commands, and seek His guidance and His will in all aspects of their lives. Your teaching ultimately leads to what we see today in the young men and young women that we recognized earlier in this service. For many of us, our children will be another version of us. And I can only imagine what some of us just said in their minds right now, like, really? Oh my. Their lives will mimic parts of our lives because they see what we do, how we behave. And they will also see the importance of Christ in our lives or not. But this is not what I'm preaching on today. Fooled you. Today's sermon is going to be an extension of Mickey's sermon. It is also an extension onto Brother Brian Hinton's sermon from last week, talking about the unity in the body of Christ. And that body is the church. This morning we are going to be looking at Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. Before we read Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, Brother Brian Hinton last week said that he was initially going to preach on Ephesians 2. But instead, he said God had different plans and laid it on his heart to preach on Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Now here's what's interesting with this, while I say this. Before Pastor TJ and his family left to go to Texas, we sat down that week before you left, and he asked me, "What do you think about preaching about?" Well, I said, "I feel like God's laying on my heart to preach Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. And I just thought it was amazing to see how God changed Brother Brian's heart to preach on Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. So not only is this extension of Mickey's sermon, it's now turning into an extension of Brother Brian's sermon from last week. So let's go to Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. So I was reading these verses and I was studying. I could not stop thinking about the young men and young women in this country that would be graduating from high school, colleges, universities, and those that are even entering the workforce. And they're starting a new chapter in their life. They're getting ready to start being out into what we call the real world. These young men and women, they're trying to figure out careers, the direction for their lives, the excitement they have, the scaredness they have, in trying to figure out their identity in the world. But at the same time, it also scares me. Having a 15-year-old, knowing in a few years I'm going to be facing the same thing, watching students grow up, going out into this world and dealing with the world. Seeing young men and women trying to sort out all the different influencers that are pulling at them, one way or the other. This is why God's word is so important. This is why we are looking at Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. Church, this is why it is so important that God's church has to be unified, coming together alongside parents, alongside these students to encourage them, love them, and help understand that their identity is in Christ. Their faith in Christ is the foundation of their lives. And the world will challenge that. But the church will be right there helping believers to stand firm in their faith. So let's go back to Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, and begin with 7 through 10. It says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gives to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things." In verse 7, Christ is the one that gifted us with the gifts that we're to use in ministry. In his ministry, to be exact. Paul tells us that it is not just certain people, but if you notice, he uses the word us, meaning everyone in the church. All believers in the body of Christ have been gifted with gifts from Christ to use to further the kingdom of God, to be used to equip others, to be used in Christ's ministry, to be used to build mature Christians that are strong in their faith. But how do we know that it's Christ that gifted us? One, read verse 7. It says it. But let's also look at verses 8 through 10. It says, "Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gifts to men." In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended for above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now Christ, understand, to ascend, you must descend, right? Christ is that one that descended to the earth. He came down, became flesh, to live as man, to minister to a lost world, and then to die on the cross, to be a sacrifice for all mankind, so that we may have forgiveness of sin. And then he was buried in the tomb. And on a third day, he was resurrected. He defeated death so that man could be saved through faith. Christ ascended back into heaven to sit at the right hand of God, given full authority over all. How do we know that Christ is the one that graces his believers with gifts to serve in his ministry? Because according to Scripture, he is the Lord and Savior. He descended to save man through faith. He ascended to take his place as the Most High and have the authority over all. Christ is the one that fills his church with everything we need to grow the body of Christ. Which leads us to verse 11 and 12. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. There are a variety of gifts that we've been blessed with. Believe me, some of you all are much better at certain things than I am. All of us in the church are blessed with different gifts that can be used in unique ways to help grow the body of Christ. For example, Pastor TJ, he has been blessed with the gift to preach and to teach. Hence, his role here at Central Baptist Church as senior pastor. All the rest of us have been blessed with different gifts that should be used in the advancement of God's word throughout the world and growing the body of Christ. In verse 11, these positions have been gifted to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. What are the roles for those that are gifted in these areas? Is to equip saints. Verse 12 tells us that those that are gifted in these areas are to equip the saints, meaning that those in these positions are responsible for equipping believers to grow strong in their faith, understand God's word, and prepare them to serve in Christ's ministry. But verses 13 and 14 explains how long this process should endure. And this is one of the things I've always found really interesting when talking to people in different churches. It says, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, as a church, this process of teaching God's word, understanding God's word, helping believers to grow in faith and become active members of the body of Christ is an ongoing, never-ending process. It does not matter your age. If you are a believer, we are called to keep using our gifts in God's ministry, to keep equipping, to keep growing, to keep helping. We are to use the gifts that Christ blessed us with to help young believers to mature in faith. In verse 13 says, to mature manhood. We are to help believers become mature in faith, meaning that they are able to stand in faith even when Satan and the world are making things difficult. Believers are able to stand in faith and relying on God's strength in his word. As the body of Christ, this goes for the whole body as well. It goes for every one of us. Sorry. This goes for the whole body as individual pieces of the body. We are to come together as one, growing in faith and seeking God's will in everything we do. As one body in Christ, we are to mature together in teaching, preaching, and studying God's word. We are to stand unified as one in Christ. Understand, the point of the church is for believers to be coming together to encourage and to support each other, to love each other, to help us grow in our faith. we're not always meant to handle. We're not meant to handle this by ourselves. As individual believers, verse 13 tells us that we must measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. As believers, we are to strive to be like Christ, to live perfectly. Even though we are unable to achieve this, we are still called to strive to be like Christ. As believers, we are called to live a life of obedience to Him, to make Christ that priority over everything in our life. Just as Paul addressed the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2, it says, But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you milk. I fed you with milk, not solid food. For you were not ready for it. As individual believers, we are to strive to be mature in faith. We are to strive to be in, as verse 15 says, the fullness of Christ. We strive to be doers of the faith, not just hearers. We strive to seek Christ in everything we do. We seek His guidance and will in all aspects of our lives. And not to say as young believers, but not to stay as young believers, but to grow. We are here to grow our young believers. We need to be building them up, setting a strong foundation in God's Word. This is difficult, but must be understood that Christ is the example of how we should live. And we should strive to live for Christ and be an example of Christ as an individual and in the church. Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. The very importance of being mature in faith is that Satan is alive and well and doing everything in his power to pull people away from Christ and to keep people away from Christ, to persuade people that Christ is not needed and the world can provide everything for us that we need in this life. There are false teachers everywhere. Just take a look at the culture. There are people out there that are saying that if it makes you happy, do it. That is insane. Happiness does not bring salvation. It is just an emotion. And we all know what happens when we rely completely on emotions. It's called chaos. Look at what is going on in the world. There are false doctrines being presented everywhere. Look at all the issues that are out in the world. The world is telling us, our students and children, that abortion is good, that sexuality is whatever you want it to be, and that being a Christian, and I heard this week, is stupid. This is insane. No matter how you look at it, abortion is taking a life. God created men and women exactly the way He intended. And being a Christian, putting your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, is life-saving, not stupid. This is why it is important to seek maturity in faith, to fight against the false doctrine that is infected, that is infecting societies across the world. But how do we fight against this? Let's look at verses 15 and 16. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with it, which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. As a church and individual believers, we are to seek Christ in everything we do. We are to equip each other to be mature in faith. We are to encourage one another, love one another, and hold each other accountable. The body of Christ is the church. The church is not just one individual believer. It is a group of believers coming together to worship and praise their Lord and Savior. This is believers coming together to teach, to learn, to grow together. As followers of Christ, we come together to worship. and praise our Lord and Savior. We are to come together to build each other up to become mature Christians in faith, no longer relying on milk, but taking solid food. Understanding God's word, applying it to our lives, and being an example of Christ to others. This is why you have heard Pastor TJ say many times it is so very important for the saints to come together, worship together, and to help each other grow in faith. The body of Christ will grow when all these individual parts and all the individual believers come together to worship the head of the church, Jesus Christ. The body will mature and grow when the parts come together and properly function in the body the way Christ intended it. When believers come together as a body of Christ, everyone is using their individual gifts to work together as one body. And when each part is functioning properly, Christ will grow his body. He will grow his body, and which is the church. So out of all this has just been said, how does it impact us? Hopefully you got an idea by now, right? How does this apply to these students? How does this apply to our families? How does this apply to these graduates and these students that are going out here getting ready to start a new chapter in their lives? How does this apply to the church? Number one, church, we must come together. We must come together as one body to allow Christ to use his church to further his kingdom. Church, we need to come together. We need to encourage others to start joining us on Sunday morning worship, Sunday night Bible studies, and Wednesday night prayer service. As believers, we are meant to come together as one body. We are meant to come together to worship together, and we are meant to come together to help each other grow in faith, to become mature Christians. We are meant to come together to be one body so that we can encourage one another, to hold each other accountable, and to work together to share the good news of Christ with this community and the world. We are meant to be together so that we can lift each other up, seek God's will, and be an example of Christ to one another and to this world. I understand that for some, you are unable to be here physically, that you're unable to be here to worship with everyone. We thank you for joining us through social media. But if you are watching because that is just the easy thing to do, or we've got used to doing that because of this pandemic, God intended for you to be here. God intended for you to be here with your brothers and sisters in Christ, being just a part of the whole body, working together to build mature Christians, working together. You need to be here. Christians that are firm in their faith, they do not waver in sharing God's love with others. We need to be together to lift each other up, to encourage each other, to help build each other up. Church, we have come together to be there for these young men and women that are getting ready to face the world. Look around. Seriously, look around. Look at the students that are around here. Look at the children, which is awesome to see, sitting here with us. Look at the kids. Look at these graduates that are here today. And I promise you, there are several others that couldn't make it. As a church, we need to come alongside the graduates, the students, the children, and parents. We need to show that the church body is here to encourage them, to help when needed, but also to hold them accountable. The world is going to throw so many different influencers at these students that we need to help them stand firm in their faith. We need to encourage them to seek the truth in God's word and not the world. And as a church, we need to help these students to grow in their faith. We need to stand with them to give guidance, direction, and love. Even after they graduate, they need to know that their church family loves them and is here to help them. And finally, church, there is so many influences in the world right now that high school graduates are leaving the church at a rapid pace. And this breaks my heart. You have heard me mention just some of the false doctrines that are influencing people across the world. In 2018, studies have shown that 70% of high school students leave the church after they graduate. 70%. Only half of those students return to church a decade later. And I assume, just through some study I've done recently, is that these numbers have not improved today. That's frightening. What that means is that as students are graduating and they're going out into this world, churches are not influencing them. Something else is. Something else is telling them in this world that's telling them that church is no longer important. Something is telling them that, you know, I don't need that. I would rather stay at home and sleep. I'd rather go get a job. That is frightening. Church, this is the reason why we need to come alongside our graduates to help them. Understand that the greatest influencer they will ever have in their lives is Jesus Christ. The world is going to be throwing so much garbage at them. It's going to want to make them to sway to and fro. It's going to make them to question their faith. But that is why we need to be here as a church, for our students and for our families. That's why we need to be here to show them some love and encouragement, to encourage them to seek Christ, to stand firm in faith. It is a non-stop process. It keeps going, and we still need to keep doing this. I don't care if they're 30, we still need to keep going after them. This is why it is important for the church to help young believers to become mature believers, so that they can stand against those false influences. They can stand against those false doctrines and stand up for Christ, even when things get tough. They know the truth. They know the truth of God's word. And they know that they can rely on Christ. Church, the process of building mature Christians never stops. God's plan to reach the world and build mature Christians is through His church. Through believers like you and me, Christ has given all believers gifts that will allow them to be a functioning part of His body. While you may not be gifted in preaching and teaching, Christ has given you a gift, maybe to serve, counsel, or just someone that has the gift of patience and listening. Not everybody has that gift. How many are really patient? Yeah. Hey, we got one. After this past year, there are so many people that need just someone to listen to them. Through this pandemic, we're seeing a rise in anxiety and depression like we haven't seen before. Someone that cares enough to let them talk and get their worries off their chest. When all the parts of Christ's body work properly, Christ will grow His body. And the church will be building mature believers that can stand in faith against the influences of the world. In turn, those mature believers will go out into the world to build disciples. So the process keeps repeating itself. Let's be a church that seeks to grow mature believers, that comes alongside our children, our students, and the families, that encourages one another, that holds each other accountable, that loves one another, And first and foremost, seeks Christ in everything that we do. Church, we are so important in the lives of our students and of our children. We need to, and even adults, we need to be concerned in this world that we need to build up our students to be firm in their faith, to open their Bibles, to open God's Word when questions come up, to seek God's truth. That's what we're here for, is to grow mature believers. Let us pray. Father God, thank you. Father, I know, God, that you have a purpose for your church. And Father, I lift up our church, Lord, to help us to understand. I pray, God, that this morning through your word, Father, that we are now starting to see how important the church is in your plan. And Father, I pray, God, for all of us as individuals in here, God, to help us to understand that you have a purpose for us, that you have gifted us with these gifts, Lord, that you intended for us to use in your ministry, that you intended us to use to help grow the body. And Father, I just lift up our church to help us to understand that students today, children today, they really need our church family just as much as their parents as well. To help them grow, to grow in faith, to help them grow in a solid foundation, God, relying completely on you, and to know that you died on the cross for them, and that you are the Lord and Savior, you are the Most High. Father God, I pray for our church. I pray for these students. I pray for these graduates, Lord, that we recognize this morning. Father God, I pray you give them the strength to know that you're there with them. I pray that you give them the strength to know that you'll lead them through this world. They just got to be looking for you. They got to be seeking you. They got to be relying on you for that strength. And Father, once again, I just pray for our church. Help us to come alongside these students. Help us to come alongside these families, to be there to support them, to be there to help them learn, to be there to teach them. Lord, at times, even if we have to hold accountable for the actions that we have. Father God, I just thank you once again for allowing us to be here this morning. I thank you for everyone that's in here. Father God, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will move and change hearts today. And Father, we just thank you for blessing this church and blessing us the way you have. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.